The scripture today is Matthew 25, 14 through 30. For it will be as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them. He made 5 talents more. So also he who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing the 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also who had received 1 talent came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not winnow. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you who knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gathered where I have not winnowed, then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take that talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Troy. I appreciate that reading. Want to draw your attention to the sanctuary flowers. They're given today by Midge Cooney in loving memory of her grandmother, Willie B. Monroe, and they're very pretty. We thank you for the flowers. This reading that Troy just read for us, it tells a great story. It tells a story about servants and what they do with what is given to them. And I often wonder about people, including myself, how often we reflect back on our lives. You know, took inventory of your accomplishments and disappointments, or good times and bad, or even the events leading up to adulthood and how they affected you. I know some of you have shared your growing up years in this church, or how you came to settle in Texarkana, or what you left behind to do that. A novelist wrote about visiting a monastery. While on the way to the refectory for lunch, he and the monks he was visiting walked past a graveyard with an open grave. He asked one of the monks which member of the community had died recently, and he told him, nobody. That grave is for the next one. Every day, 3 times a day, as they walk to eat, the members of that community are reminded of what we spend our waking hours trying to forget. One of them will be the next one. Some of us approach the past like that. We look more toward how we're preparing for death than how we should be living our lives. On more than one occasion, I have heard, even in my own family, things like, well, Dad is dead. That means we're next. People look at the past and they say, oh, well, look, a generation is gone. We're the next generation. We're going to be the next to go. When actually what you might be wanting to think is we even have more opportunity to continue the ministries that the Lord has set us to do. I don't have to look to the past to know that I have a future. I don't have to look to the past because I know that God is with me today. And I know that I have time and talent and gifts that God has given me. So the past is the past. And we do have generations ahead of us who pass away, and they leave the work of Jesus Christ for us to do. I mean, honestly, I don't accept that at all. When we spend our lives looking back or looking at the future darkly, we invite sadness, depression, hopelessness, and despair. And I believe that it is simply not what our Lord wants us to do. There's a story of a king that wanted to show his people how much he loved them. So he decided to pay for a great feast for his kingdom. He decided to have a great meal and invite every family, kind of like what we're doing today. The king would provide all the meat, all the vegetables, all the desserts, everything. The king would provide all but the wine. No, we're not having wine today, so. The king asked every family to bring one bottle of their best wine. He would see that there was a several thousand gallon vat for all to pour in their bottle of wine. So he sets up this big vat. Everyone is to bring their best wine and to pour it in there. What a feast this would be. The king wanted to honor his people. One poor farmer decided he would slip in his bottle, nothing but water, no wine. How would the king ever know of his selfishness? His one bottle of water mixed with thousands of bottles of wine would never be known. The king would never know. The taste would still be good. So the poor farmer climbed the stairs to the top of the vat, and while no one was looking, he poured in his bottle of wine. I mean, his bottle of water, in with the thousands of other wine bottles. No one saw him. He had fooled everyone there. He laughed. He got away cheap. He sat down at the king's table ready for the feast. The king was so proud, he honored his precious people. He filled his plate with delicious food. The king picked up his royal gold chalice. The king placed his chalice under the spout of the huge vat of wine. The king looked into his chalice, and to his surprise, it was clear, pure water. Seems everybody in the kingdom thought their little bottle of water would not matter in that vat of wine. The point being, our part matters. What God has set us to do matters. What we are to do matters. And if one of us is saying, you know what, I'll sit back and let everyone else in the church take care of this, what if everyone else is doing that too? Nothing gets taken care of. We have a role to play. We have gifts. We have talents. We have things that we can do for the church, and oftentimes we choose to sit back and watch others do our part. Or at least their part. Doubt cannot feed on doubt, else it would die. Doubt generates into cynicism, fault-finding, doom, gloom, and pessimism. Life is what you should emphasize. Do you emphasize adverse, negative attitudes that fall into hopelessness and despair? Do you have self-inflicted depression because you feel that you can't do anything for God, that you're not good enough to do it for God? You decide. God has given each and every one of us specific gifts and talents to be used during our lifetime. And the question is, have you used it? Or are you sitting there thinking, my part doesn't matter? There are some people sitting in front of me, they do a lot in the church, so it doesn't really matter. Oftentimes when I'm sitting in a counseling session, I have people come in and tell me how their parents put them down as they were growing up, telling them that they were stupid or had no talent. Or they're married to someone who tells them that. And they feel worthless and they feel like they can't do anything because anything they do is going to be taken apart. It's going to be criticized. So they don't even try. And they're in this world and they're just going through the motions because they don't have the self-confidence, the self-esteem to go forward. And I'm telling you, God gives each and every one of us talent. If we have nothing else that we can feel good about, we can feel good about our relationship with Jesus Christ. Our Lord tells us what happens when we don't use the gifts and talents during our lifetime. He also who had received the one talent came forward saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you did not winnow. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sowed and gather where I have not winnowed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given. And he will have abundance. But from him who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Perhaps you have heard similar comments, but I've heard those who watch pro sports say, I could have done that, but no one noticed my talent, or the coach wouldn't let me play, so I never had a chance. So they never used the talent because they felt defeated before they ever got started. In other words, I had or have the talent, but I never invested it. We see those who put themselves out there, who invest themselves in things and never have regrets because they have tried. They used their talent, their gifts. But others hold on to fear of failure or fear of change. For those who are NFL football fans, how many times have you heard just this year alone that a player was not drafted, so he was a walk-on and is now one of the best in the NFL? I know I've heard it several times. What if these players said, well, I wasn't drafted, no one wants me, I give up. Now imagine God giving you talent and you saying, you know what, I don't think I'm all that talented, I don't think I have that much to offer, so you don't try. When God gives us life, he gives us talents and gifts. We must invest ourselves in finding ways to use them. We must put ourselves out there to serve the Lord. Is it a question of whether you win or not? No. It's a question of whether you try. It's not about winning. It's about trying and using those gifts. A large company, feeling it was time for a shakeup, hired a new CEO. This new boss was determined to rid the company of all slackers. On a tour of the facilities, the CEO noticed a guy leaning on a wall. The room was full of workers, and he wanted to let them know that he meant business. The new CEO walked up to the guy leaning against the wall and asked, "How much money do you make a week?" A little surprised, the young fellow looked at him and replied, "I make about $300 a week. Why?" The CEO then handed the guy $1,200 in cash and screamed, "Here's 4 weeks' pay. Now get out and don't come back." Feeling pretty good about himself, the CEO looked around the room and asked, "Does anyone want to tell me what that goof-off did here?" From across the room came a voice. He was the pizza delivery guy from Domino's. It's one way to make money. Right? Sometimes we have the best of intentions. We want to go out there and we want to clean up and make things better. But we don't even know what we're looking at. It's up to us. It's not about getting someone else to do the work. It's about us doing the work. It's not about sitting back and waiting for others to take care of business for us. It's about us being the one to take care of business. Put your talent out there. You never know when you will be in the right place at the right time. Volunteer in the church, even if something you don't feel you have the talent for, you are going to at least try. I have actors that come and do the reenactments and plays, and some of them, quite frankly, have never acted before, but they want to try. We would not have it if they did not put themselves out there. Take God's gifts and invest them in serving him. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered me 5 talents. Here, I've made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, and I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here, I have made you 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. No matter how little you may think of the gifts and talents God has given you, remember, if you have been faithful over a little, he will set you over much, and you shall enter into the joy of your master. Even if you feel you have only 1 talent, maybe your talent is singing. Maybe your talent is cooking. Maybe your talent is cleaning. Even if you have 1 talent, do not make the mistake of the slothful servant. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. The message that Jesus has for us today is, please don't hide what my Father has given you. He gave it to you for a reason, that you may contribute to the wellness and wholeness of the community of faith, that you may sing, that you may play, that you may cook, that you may serve in some capacity. Invest it in living the full life God has given you. Bottom line, use it or lose it. That's what God says. I gave it to you. Use it, please, and make this world a better place. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for this day and grateful for the opportunity to come together in celebrating our stewardship campaign and all of those who participated, all of those who have contributed. We give you thanks. As we go forward into Disciple Hall to eat, we ask that you bless the food to the nourishment of our bodies, that we may be ever mindful of your blessings, that we may do your will and do your work. Be with us, guide us, and hold us in your loving arms as we perform the ministries that you have set us here on earth to do, for we ask this in your Son's name. Amen.